Do you want to make a difference in the world?
And see the lives of the people of India and all internationals transformed with the gospel?
As India goes, all Asia will go with.
Living the Dream podcast provides tools for you to pray, give, and go
as you become an active participant in the Great Commission
and help your church's demographic represent the demographic of your community.
Get ready to find your strategy for reaching your community and changing the world here at Living the Dream podcast with your host, Pastor Kevin.
Good morning. I'm Pastor Kevin, founder and executive director of Global Hope India, and your host for Living the Dream podcast. This is where the church gathers to mobilize in order to effectively reach the community and change the world, including all the foreign-born internationals moving into our communities. I interview today's top church leaders from around the world so we can learn all we can about reaching internationals with the gospel and partnering with them in the Great Commission. It's time the church has this conversation. Go to globalhopeindia.org/resources for tools for your success. Now, let's jump into today's show.
I am so excited to introduce you to today's guest. We actually have two on the show today. First of all, Pastor David Barker of Green Level Baptist Church in Cary, North Carolina. And one of his staff members, Angela Tilley, will be joining the conversation as well. David is the senior pastor of Green Level Baptist Church. He has a political science and Spanish degree from the UNC School in Chapel Hill. He holds a master's from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, and he is involved right now in completing his doctorate dissertation there at Southeastern. David has seen Green Level Baptist go from an all-white church celebrating 150 years of ministry to becoming a international church with multiple faces internationally, as the face of the church has taken on the face of its community. Cannot wait to share this conversation with you. Angela is actually involved in heading up their community outreach, so she is a pivotal part of this conversation. Will you please welcome to the show Pastor David Barker and his co-worker, Angela. Welcome to Living the Dream. It gives me a high honor to be able to welcome to today's show Pastor David from Green Level Baptist Church and his assistant there, co-worker, Angela. I want to welcome both Pastor David and Angela to Living the Dream. Thank you for being with us today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah. Pastor David, you go first. How are you doing in the midst of this challenging time with the global pandemic?
Man, Kevin, that is such a good question. I would love to say that getting done all of the things that I would hope to do, but while I have not personally contracted COVID-19, I have those in my own family that are affected by it, whether they have other medical conditions, and so their treatments are affected by COVID-19, or they're in the medical profession and they're navigating that. And so, you know, my wife and I are also learning in the season what it looks like to kind of balance getting things done for work and for home life, and then kind of shepherding our kids in school. And so definitely have gained a lot of respect for our educators during this time. And then just trying to shepherd a church family during this time. Every church community is a little microcosm community. You have so many folks across the board that something like this global pandemic is affecting them in a myriad of ways. Some feel the pain physically, some feel the pain emotionally, mm-hmm. others feel the pain financially. Yeah. And I think then there's obviously sort of this twofold spiritual approach. One is, you know, kind of where is God in the midst of this? What is God trying to do? Why is this happening? And then at the same time, kind of going to God with questions, there's also sort of a going to God for comfort during this time. Just shepherding my own heart, my own family, and then walking through the season with them and doing that with the church family as well. I like to joke, I guess on a lighter note, I have gotten well acquainted with some technologies that I was not well acquainted with prior to this. It is a challenging time for everyone. And certainly I wouldn't say personally that there's any exception, although I'm not in a place like New York or something like that. So it's a little different in this context.
Sure. Wow. So we are recording this after Easter. I'm very grateful for the technology to be able to record phone calls. Otherwise, the podcast would have really shut down. But fortunately, we can schedule moments like this together. I really appreciate your time. So let me just ask you, how was Easter 2020 compared to what you've experienced in the past?
Wow, Kevin, that's a great question. It was a lot different.
Yeah.
I know you're familiar with this phrase, the message doesn't change, or maybe the medium or the medium, the way you go about doing it changes. And we are doing a live simulcast of our service. And so posting that on our website and through some social platforms. And it is a lot different in that our normal rhythm is we do something on Good Friday. We have a community event that we normally do on the Saturday prior to Easter, which hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about.
Yes.
And Angela does a great job organizing and administering that event. And then we've often had a sunrise gathering at our church. Then we have worship. And so here I am standing up and with the joy of Easter, we are serving a victorious, risen Savior. And Kevin, I'm basically preaching it at an iPad that is in front of me recording it. I'm just trusting that there are people in their homes or wherever they are gathered worshiping with us in that moment. Praise God, we were able to this year. We have two ethnic Chinese Bible study and we have a Tamil Indian fellowship. One of the leaders from our Chinese fellowship joined us in person and was able to pray and speak. And so that was really a great blessing to be able to have that. So, but it was difficult because we had really hoped to have and had spoken to all three sort of green level. And then we really wanted to have a service for celebrating our risen Savior and the multi-national nature of the church.
Yes.
And so, you know, the best laid plans of mice and men. And so we kind of had this idea of what it looks like celebrating it. And then we're in a room that's largely empty, aside from the people who are helping leading the service or making sure that all the technology holds together. It was different celebrating a risen Savior, but it certainly was different.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, kudos to you and your team for pulling that off and just continuing to proclaim Christ and demonstrate that in this time. I'm glad to hear how you were able to celebrate Christ and celebrate Easter together. And I know that you're not alone. Churches all over the world, believers all over the world are trying to figure out what outreach and evangelism looks like. And I'm really glad, you know, we all have to find those silver linings in the midst of this, but I'm glad to hear you talk about how your Chinese fellowship and your English fellowship serve together. This global pandemic is going to have to result in a global opportunity. And that's one of the visions of this podcast. So, Angela, what was it like for you not to be able for Green Level to host the annual community egg hunt this year?
It was really disappointing in that it's just something we really look forward to. It's our largest community outreach. And it was really kind of born out of the idea that we need to minister to the community that God has built around our church and that it doesn't necessarily look like it used to. And so it has grown in the recent years, and we have 10,000 eggs sitting in our basement right now and a bunch of t-shirts that won't be worn and things like that. But we are very thankful that most of all the resources that we purchased and things that we use for that event can be reused next year. We are just trusting that it will be even bigger and better next year. Mm-hmm. And so we will, you know, have saved some money on the end, be able to kind of invest a little bit more deeply maybe in the coming years. Our team and our congregation are just extraordinary when it comes to the event. I mean, we are a small church relative to many of the others, and we have almost everybody participating in that one event. So a church of less than 200 is hosting an event for more than, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 people. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's just really encouraging. And it's an event that we really encourage our people to be involved in, and then also our fellowship, our worship partners with the Chinese church. And we have a Tamil Bible study group that meets at our church as well, that we kind of serve alongside at different times during the year. But again, this is a time when they can really reach out to the community mm-hmm. that is growing around us of the Tamil people. And they have tents up and Bibles in their language and things like that. And the t-shirts that we wear have "He is risen" in like 10 different languages. And so we just want people to be able to hear the message of Easter and see that we really have a heart for the community mm-hmm. that we've been placed in. And so it's definitely disappointing, but I have no doubt that God will work all this out for His glory. Yes. And I think it does open some doors in other ways. So mm-hmm. we were contacted by the town that we're in, who had heard about our event. They have an event that's on the other side of town, and they wanted to start expanding because they knew that they weren't serving the west side of the town very well. Mm-hmm. And they heard about us. And so instead of kind of recreating the wheel, they wanted to partner with us instead. That was a surprise to us. And we talked about it and met about it and said, you know, how do we see this partnership with a government entity, and what can we compromise on, and what are our hard and fast things that we're going to stick to? And we really decided that this is an Easter event, and the reason we celebrate Easter is our risen Lord, and we're not compromising on that message. Right. And the city came back and they said, "We wouldn't expect you to. You're a church. Mm-hmm. Do what churches do." And so that relationship, I think, will grow over the next year. Good. And they offered advertising dollars for us. They mm-hmm. offered eggs for us mm-hmm. in ways that we can expand this event to reach even more people in our area. So we're excited. It's going to be good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, my wife and I and a coworker were blessed to be a part of last year's egg hunt and just blown away at how the vast majority of the people in attendance were not born in the USA. And,
right.
And it's so effective. I'm just in awe of God to give that, of how He has given Green Level this opportunity. And I can't wait for our listeners to really get an understanding of Green Level Baptist and what God is doing in and through that. So let's start with Pastor David and just bring us up to speed. How did you get to Cary, North Carolina? I know you're from Virginia and you've been here. You're a sports fanatic, but help us just to get to know you, and then I want to dive into just sort of the history of Green Level. And it's really gone from a traditional Baptist church, very still very Baptist as far as its theology and all that, but the face of Green Level has dramatically changed from where it was two decades ago. And now you have a very international expression of Green Level Baptist. So first of all, Pastor David, just introduce us to you and your family and how you got to Cary, North Carolina.
Yeah, man, I would just say that it is all God's grace. I was born in Richmond, Virginia. I lived there until sixth grade. My family at that point moved outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. And so I graduated from high school down in that area. I was a big sports guy. I played sports. I had an injury that my senior year of high school that kind of was like, all right, well, I don't think the sports thing is going to work out. And so I had just always been a UNC Chapel Hill fan. I really wanted to go there. And so I went there.
Mm-hmm. Go Tar Heels.
That's right. Go Tar Heels. Absolutely. All day. So Angela are from Texas, and they're is equal. But my father is in ministry, and my mom actually now also serves in the church doing accounting stuff. And so when I went to UNC, that was the last thing on my radar. That was the last thing that I ever wanted to do was to do ministry. Not because of some, you know, terrible experience. It just was, that's not kind of what I felt the direction of my life was going to be. Mm-hmm. And so I went to UNC and I actually studied political science and Spanish there. Mm-hmm. And I honestly, Kevin, I got really involved with Campus Crusade for Christ while I was there. I think it's now called Crew. Mm-hmm. And I had a bunch of people that just discipled me and kind of went into the scriptures with me, checked in on me, prayed with me. Somehow in the midst of that, I found myself leading off-campus Bible studies. And then from there, actually, I was taking the LSAT to go to law school. And in that moment, I just kind of, it had been growing and growing and growing in my heart. There was just this, if I had 5 seconds left in my life, I would want to serve and to tell other people about Jesus. And that, like, it's not that it's, man, I guess I could do this. It's like, I can't think of doing anything else. So I decided, hey, I think I'm going to go to seminary, that I work for you. They hired me. That's a pretty well-known church in the area, and the Summit Church. And mm-hmm. so I did college ministry for them with them for a mm-hmm. few years mm-hmm. and worked under a guy who primarily was a church planter in Baltimore. And at that time, Summit was really a church in Durham. And there was a big heart for the people living in Durham. It wasn't quite as regional as it is now. And I helped him with some of that at that same time. Mm-hmm. Around all of that, I met my wife on a blind date. And here I am, all go Tar Heels. Went to NC State, and then kind of the very first thing I did at the Summit was I started discipling athletes at Duke. So I always say that God has a sense of humor.
Yes.
And I'm in seminary, and so my wife and I are getting married, and I love the DNA and the heartbeat of the Summit, and you know, still have a lot of good friends over there. But yeah. I started attending there when Summit was Homestead Heights Baptist Church, and yeah. have seen the transformation of what happened. And I was like, man, I was raised a Baptist. I kind of know what that looks like. I do believe, you know, I believe in Christ. I believe the teachings. And so I want to go in and just help. And so my wife and I were in agreement. Let's go where we feel like God opens the door, and we're not going to leave unless we feel like God like makes it obvious to us, like we need to go.
And now a story from the mission field.
So I have a funny story to share with you about one of my driving experiences in India. It was actually the very first time that I ever rented a car on an international driver's license and was attempting to drive. I am in Pune, India, and we are traveling to Mumbai. It's 3.5 hours, and it's on a major highway, which is somewhat unique for India. But this particular highway, the Pune and Mumbai Highway, is a very nice, clean, major highway. And so everything is going well. And an hour and a half outside of Pune, you go around a very winding, twisting road as you go around a lake before you begin to head closer to Mumbai. Growing up in North Carolina, this reminds me of Black Mountain. As you travel from East North Carolina going into the western part of North Carolina, there is a winding mountain called Black Mountain. Well, this is not necessarily a mountain range, but it is a very winding road. And as we approach the winding road, all of the traffic comes to a screeching halt, and it is moving nowhere. And 10 minutes goes by, and we're not moved one single inch. 20 minutes goes by, not one single inch. And we began to hear news coming back from car to car as the news just spread that there had been a landslide. And it was only maybe less than half a mile up, but it was taking a long time to get the news back to the car. And we ended up sitting there totally stranded, not able to go backwards or turn around, not able to go forward for 3 hours. And it turned into a very nice experience. The people in the cars around were having dance parties and enjoying the evening. And then slowly, painfully slowly, the traffic began to move as they had cleaned out one lane, and all of these cars were having to go down to one lane to get around this landslide and to make our way on over to Mumbai. That took a 3.5 hour journey and turned it into 7. Fun times in India.
We want to give some local love to our friend David Tran from Raleigh, North Carolina. As a marketing guru, David is the CMO at Classical Conversations, in addition to being the owner of Forerunner Media. He has also been involved with strategic development with the Summit Church and the YMCA. To say that he and his wife are generously involved in the community is an understatement. We recognize David Tran for his witness for Christ and lifestyle of generosity.
Nothing boosts reaching internationals more than saying, "I've been there." Global Hope India has taken nearly 1,000 people on short-term mission trips and seen both Americans and Indians radically transformed. Experience a life-changing adventure. If you're looking to see people far from God raised to life in Christ, then GHI is your opportunity. See our mission trips at globalhopeindia.org/go. There's definitely a trip for you.
Know your numbers. Maybe you've seen the show Shark Tank, and you've seen the business owners come in to pitch to the sharks and explain why they're the right person to execute the vision for their business. Well, we believe that you are the right person to execute the vision for your church, and you need to know your numbers.
According to recent research, between 2015 and the year 2060, the world's population is expected to increase by 32%. Right now, 7.3 billion call Earth home, and in 2060, it is projected that 9.6 billion will be inhabiting planet Earth. Over that same period, the number of Muslims, the major religious group within the youngest population having the highest fertility, is projected to increase by 70%. The number of Christians is projected to rise by 34%, slightly slower than the global population overall. So we have our work cut out for us to invest wisely in the advancement of the gospel.
My experience has been, you know, so many times, and Green Level is a 150-year-old church this year. We're going to celebrate a 150th year of the church. And yeah, praise God. And you have people kind of come to a church and they stay for a while and they leave and they come to a church and they stay. And honestly, when people in the church know this, when I first saw the outside of our building, I called my then fiance and said, "I don't know if this is going to be a good fit." But as I met the people, I was like, you know, and they love God. They are passionate about telling people about Him. And then I knew demographically that our area was going to see an influx of people. And Kevin, I grew up where my dad was on a plane at least once a year going somewhere to tell people about Christ, mm-hmm. and grew up sort of hearing that God's not tribal. You know, I guess if I could go, I mean, I know I'm kind of, but two of my favorite quotes sort of outside of the Bible, one's by a guy named Christopher Wright. And he says, it's not so much the case that God has a mission for his church in the world as that God has a church for his mission in the world. Mission was not made for the church. The church was made for
Amen.
Mission.
Amen.
God's yes. mission. And then John Stott says, mission is the global outreach of the global people of the global God. And throughout college, I guess to wrap up my journey, I love playing soccer. Mm-hmm. I love playing soccer. And one of the things is you can go almost anywhere local, you can go in our community, you can go around the world, and you yes. can drop a soccer ball and people are from all over are going to start playing.
Yes.
And My favorite passage of scripture is Revelation 7, where people from every tribe, tongue, language, nation are gathered, and they say collectively, salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb.
Yes.
And it's like, man, if a soccer ball can do that, we have the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I saw in Green Hill, like Angela's already alluded to it, you know, we have unbelievable volunteer rate, man. Like, we're going to do this event. We're going to pull this out. You know, we're going to do this. And you already said, I mean, the demographic is largely, we're not serving ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we won't, I mean, at the end of the day, Green Level at the 150 years ago was birthed out of really, I mean, it sounds like the setup of a joke, but a guy rode a horse into a tavern. And that's true. I mean, that is how Green Level Baptist Church was started. A guy rode a horse and stopped and went to the tavern and shared about Jesus. And so our community might look a little different, but still, like, we want to be the folks that ride the horse into the tavern and tell people about Jesus, and that, you know, and that this is why we're here. And we're, you know, to use the Esther phrase, we're here for such a time as this. And so, you know, I can't take a lot of credit. I mean, it is just trying to be to serve God, and there, that heartbeat was already existent in the church. I think it was just a little bit of like pulling that out. I mean, I can say, and Angela attests to this, like, I am definitely the 30,000 foot person. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, man, it'd be great to do something where, like, an Easter egg hunt. And it takes people like Angela, praise God, she's on staff with us,
yes,
to say, all right, this is actually how this is going to happen.
Yes.
And the way that she pulls all that together, and Kevin, honestly, she's already mentioned it, but that, like, the town calls us and says, like, hey, like, can we come in with you, mm-hmm, on this? You know, I mean, that is so much beyond, there's no credit I have for this, but we started walking through a renovation that we're doing as a church about five, six years ago. And man, it was like dead end after dead end after dead end. And we were initially, it started out like, we're going to build an education space for us. I mean, that was really the initial, like, let's build some additional education space.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided, you know what, let's make the heartbeat of this Psalm 67. God, would you be gracious to us and bless us and make your face to shine upon us, that your way may be done on the earth through saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Mm-hmm. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. And I remember sitting in my office, and I remember looking at demographic charts and thinking, God, our community is beginning to look different, and it's going to continue to look very different. Like, you are bringing the nations to our doorstep. And at that time, God, I look in our church, and we don't have that leader. We don't have that person. God, I have no idea what this looks like. I don't have a clue how this happens. And when we come back together as a church, we probably are, you know, our building's probably going to be finished. We'll have that. We have a space that we've designated, hopefully, to hold a service in a different language. And we now have two groups meeting in our church that are non-English. And that, man, that was God 100% his provision. And now, like, we have a Tamil leader in our church.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned our service on Sunday. And that is, I mean, all of that is basically God saying, David, do you, sort of like it said in Isaiah, like, I am not going to share my glory with another, right? Like, it is like, David, do you not think that I can do this? And at each point, he is just kind of calm and shown himself in that way. So that, I mean, that, I kind of went across the board there, but it is, I just, man, Kevin, I would just say my excitement is, my past is great and neat, and my childhood and all that stuff. But man, the exciting part is just daily getting to sort of stand back and watch God work. Mm-hmm. And just say, man, can I, like, I want to be a part of that, God. I want to see what you're doing, and I want to join you in what you're doing. Cause it's almost like, I mean, I remember a mutual friend that we have, Kevin, named James, mm-hmm, invited me to a breakfast where it was like, hey, we have this guy who's wanting to start a Tomal fellowship, and I just wanted to see, like, what do you think that would look like? And I was like, great, well, we have a leader in our church, he's Tomal, I'm going to bring him. And we're having our initial meeting, and the Tomal brother in our church and James's Tomal friend, like, knew each other and had already, like, had Bible study together. And I mean, it's just little things like that.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, man, God does more than we ever dare to dream or to imagine. I know this podcast is called Living the Dream, but you know, it is, man, God does more than what I could ever have dreamed that where we would be.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I feel like we could pray and go home. That was such an incredible recap and just a story to the glory of God. Pastor, how long have you been at Green Level?
So I have been at Green Level, it'll be 12 years as youth director, and then was associate pastor and did sort of community. We ran an upward soccer league for a few years and still was doing student ministry. And then the pastor that I served under, he retired and for about 4.5 years.
Yeah. Wow. It seems like you've been there for decades, and what God has done to just transform your life, transform the church, transform even the community in and around the church. And so praise God for that. I don't know if you've ever made this connection yet, but when you were sharing about the renovation project and how God just birthed his vision that this would not be space for a local church, but really kingdom space for the gospel to go forth in many languages. You mentioned Psalm 67, and it's like that is such a needed word for this global pandemic that we're in. Let all the nations praise you. And right now, the globe is suffering together unlike any other time in history. I know that we've had HIV and other challenges that we've had to face. But so many of the challenges of the past have been isolated to it being a problem in Africa or a problem in other countries. And yet this is a crisis that is really happening around the world. And I just know, we know, the people of God know that God uses these vulnerable moments in our life to really bring about spiritual awakening. And I think it'd be a worthy prayer for us just to be praying Psalm 67 over the world right now. Let all the people praise you, O God, that as we are humbled, as we are in that time of an ever needing comfort and needing Jesus as an ever-present help in time of need, that it will result in many people finding Christ, putting their hope in the Lord, and ultimately all of the nations collectively praising Almighty God. Just a little bit of a sermon note there. Angela, how long have you been a part of Green Level?
I knew you were going to ask me that. And
an estimate's fine.
David could probably answer the question for you because he has such a great memory. I've been working there 3 years. Is that right?
That's right.
And we have been worshiping there couple years longer than that. We moved from Texas in 2011 and kind of jumped around to some other churches for a year or so at a time. And then we just kind of, my husband and oldest son landed at Green Level one Sunday morning instead of dragging the whole family to different churches every Sunday. They were going to go scout for us. And so they just, again, David said it, just the people there, the love that they have for each other and the love that they have for Jesus was just so apparent that Sunday morning. And it didn't have all the bells and whistles and the playgrounds and the fancy children's wing and all that stuff, but my kids loved it. And so we have been there ever since.
Yeah. Well, that is awesome. And I just celebrate Pastor David, how he put you under Pastor J.D. Greer and being there. Like you were part of Summit Church before it was even Summit, as it was Homestead Heights Baptist Church. And you were allowed by God to really look at what rebirth in a church within a church would look like, and how God can really bring revival to an existing work, and then use that very small seed of people to really give birth to an incredible work of God. And then he sent you over to Green Level, and now you're witnessing that, because Green Level historically has been an all-white church, and now it has a very international face to it. What's your take on just the summary of Green Level Baptist Church?
Yeah, I mean, it was a tradition. I'm going to step back and Kevin, I just laugh because this is sort of how our meetings go. Like, Angela is so smart and so to the point, and then I'm just kind of I'm a preacher when I get my answer. But Green Level reflected its community. I mean, it is a traditional farming community, a rural farming community, and so the church reflected its community. And sort of, I like to joke, everybody kind of either worked, they were a farmer, or they worked for IBM at some point. And those were kind of the two mainstays in the community. Mm-hmm. And over time, I mean, the community has just changed. It's rapidly changed in the last, I would say, two decades, but especially the last decade, just drastic change. And again, Kevin, I want to say that I think that in the church there was already a heart for this. I think maybe it was, you kind of know what you know, so you don't know exactly what that looks like. But every step of the way, I mean, we've had folks like, I mean, in this renovation, like 15 years ago, somebody gave a seven-figure donation to the church for this renovation, like 15 years ago. Mm. 15, like. I don't know if I'm going to see this fruit, but I'm going to put it there that one day God might use this. Mm. Like Awana, we have Awana on Wednesday nights, and it is, I mean, Angela's helping Awana as well. And so she might help my numbers on that. But I mean, it's probably, maybe 50-50 ethnicity. I mean, I'd probably say like 50% Anglo, 50% non-Anglo. And I mean, like we have, I mean, up until she couldn't like no longer physically come to church health wise, like we had like a 91-year-old woman coming and listening to, you know, this little South Asian girl, like recite her verses. Mm. And it is folks coming to our church. I mean, we let them know, like, we are committed to multi-generational ministry and multi-ethnic ministry. Mm. And like this is what we're about. And by God's grace, we have always been blessed with the multi-generational nature of ministry. And so then we have just sought to build upon the sort of multi-generational with this picture again. Like, this is what God's doing in the world. Mm. And I think, Kevin, you know, the best way to get a taste of this, I mean, brother, you know this, mm-hmm. is to taste it. Mm-hmm. Like, when you start, I mean, that's what I really learned at the summit. I mean, it's like, you know, how do you get people excited about what Jesus is doing? Like, show them what Jesus is doing. Like, you can, Angela can attest to this. It's like the first year we were going to do this egg hunt, and it was almost like, I mean, we planned for like 500 people, and I think like almost 3,000 people came.
Yeah.
And we're overwhelmed. We're like, what in the world do we do? Mm-hmm. I mean, we're a church of like, we kind of hover around 200, you know, mm-hmm. on a Sunday. And here we are hosting, helping host an event. It was like 3,000 people. I mean, like, if all these people even came on a Sunday morning, then we would have, I mean, like we joke, if the book of Acts happened to us, we'd be like, what in the world are we going to do? But when you see that, right, like you see that and you begin to see like, man, look, this, like God is doing this. From my perspective, how do you not want to be a part of that? And I think that we as a church, I think there has just always been that excitement. And so, and it's been difficult, but man, I love to tell this story. Kevin, we have a lot of people who are helping with our renovation. But one of the main leaders of helping with that is a lady whose house, I mean, the house where her and her husband, who's also a leader in our church, like they raised all of their kids. Like they were told by the Department of Transportation one day, like, look, you've got to move. Like a road's got to come through where your house is. Mm. And she, I mean, Angela can attest to this too. Like she's up at our church almost daily, like helping with this renovation and overseeing it and mm-hmm. passionate about we're not building a cruise ship. I mm-hmm. mean, this is not like, we're not building something to serve us. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's a statement somebody gave one time where a church is the only organization that does not exist for the primary benefit of those who are its own members, mm-hmm. right? Like we're not a social club. Mm-hmm. Like we are, you know, we're an embassy right, of God's kingdom. And I think that tapping into that in the way that even some folks who've just been displaced, I mean, they've had to sell their homes in order for neighborhoods to move in. And some of those very same people have turned around and given time financially and otherwise to say, like we want the gospel to go forward. And so, man, I don't know that I answered your question, but I would just say Greenville is a 150-year-old church. We might look like the little engine that could, mm-hmm. but we're not running on our own. I mean, it is like it is the Holy Spirit that is the motor, and we're just trying to be a vessel. And I mean, I know that sounds over spiritual, but it's the reality. Mm-hmm. And it is that we can do more together than we can do separately. And once you kind of get that little taste, and once you see at Awana, right, you're eating, like we have a meal every Wednesday night before mm-hmm. Awana. I mean, once you're sharing that mealtime and then you begin to know these families and love these families and cherish these families, and love these kids well, mm-hmm. you begin to see this is what God's doing in the world.
Yeah.
And it is like, wow, like we get to be a part of that. And I think that that's really the exciting part for Greenlevel. And we went through that in January with just celebrating 150 years and sort of some sermons about the vision of our church and some other ways we could celebrate that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would just say that the heartbeats has been there, Kevin, mm-hmm. but it's just pulling it out and letting people like experience what God is doing in the world.
Yeah. Well, you more than answered the question, and it was beautiful. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Come back next week as we talk with Pastor David about how his church became truly multi-generational and multi-ethnic, and what it took to get there. We're giving away a Starbucks gift card this month to one of our amazing listeners. Go to globalhopeindia.org/dream and fill out the quick free Starbucks form. We will randomly select a lucky listener, so enter now for your chance to win. Thank you for listening to the Living the Dream podcast, empowering and equipping church staff with an identifiable and measurable strategy for reaching internationals and changing the world. You can help us live the dream by liking, commenting, subscribing to this podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts. And you can find more resources to empower and equip your church staff at globalhopeindia.org/resources. That's globalhopeindia.org/resources.